So we come in our treatment of the Gospel of Luke now to chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Again, he who has ears, let him hear. And it came to pass, when he, that is Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. The miracles of our Lord continue to spread, to expand, and to reach, and radically to change even the most hopeless cases. Even in our modern day, with all the developments that we have in science and technology and medicine, we still cannot escape the hopeless cases. In fact, perhaps we have at times found ourselves in hopeless situations where not even the most sophisticated and trained and experienced can help us. So it was with this poor man whose name we do not know, but we don't need to know his name. It's enough for us to recognize him. Maybe we see him at work. Maybe we drive past him every day. Maybe, just maybe, we look at him in the mirror every morning. The Bible's so timeless. We can see ourselves in this situation. And here is this man who is past hope coming to Jesus and having his wildest dreams realized instantaneously as Jesus touches him, this diseased man, and he is instantaneously healed. And our Lord, and instead of sounding the trumpet and announcing it to the world, he basically tells him, let's keep this low, and you just go to the priests in Jerusalem and offer the offerings for a testimony to them. The Lord Jesus Christ heals the leper. Consider with me this passage under 5 points. First, Christ the free. Christ the free. Now, his freedom is seen in the first place by way of contrast with this poor man who was anything but free. He was a man who was so unable to do what he wanted to do. You see, you may have many desires, you may have dreams, but you often hit a brick wall, don't you? Well, this poor man had leprosy, which was in the ancient world a dreadful skin disorder It probably was a term for a catch-all of different skin disorders and diseases. But usually when it was spoken in these terms, it was such a disease that was destructive to the individual. The skin, the flesh, becomes, as it were, rotting while a man is alive. He loses even the sense of touch. It was not unknown that lepers should occasionally find themselves without 10 fingers and not even having realized it until an hour or two later. And so this kind of man was ostracized. He was put out of society. So he is banished away from family, from friends, from meaningful work. Everything is taken from him. The moment that he goes before the priest and the priest looks at that rash and says, this is no mere rash. This is something much, much worse. And from here on, you are as good as dead. It was a death sentence. It was literally a death sentence. Surely you've seen some who in a court of law are told to rise before the judge at the end of a case, and they're just waiting with bated breath as to what the judge will say. And as soon as that word guilty comes forth, there is at times a collapse and a total breakdown. What it must have been for this man. What it must have been, because he could not say goodbye to his family. And if he did, it had to be at a great distance from them. We talk about social distancing. We don't know anything about social distancing. And now the CDC tells us that we can go from 6 feet to 3. It was a death sentence. We read in Leviticus 13:43-46, then the priest shall look upon it, that is, the skin disorder, whatever it was, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean. So anytime he came into society from the Valley of Lepers or wherever it was that these people gathered together to rot and die, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, and people would look on them with horror. They didn't want to have what he had. They didn't want to be relegated to the leper colony to rot and die in loneliness and despair. This man was anything but free. He was bound. The very chains of death had bound him while he was yet alive. He had one foot in the grave. You know, it's the skin, the flesh of our bodies. Such an important gift of God. It happens to be our skin, when gathered all together, happens to be the greatest, the largest organ in our bodies. It is the part of us that presents us to the world. And it's the gateway to the world, not only in terms of the eyes, but also in terms of the touch. We've talked about this before, but haven't we over this last year only sensed a greater need for natural touch? Well, this man, he couldn't be touched. In fact, at some point, probably he couldn't even feel if he was touched. This man is so bound. He is so hindered. He is anything but free. But Christ, on the other hand, he's not only free as everyone else was, free of a disease, free of this living death of leprosy. Christ was absolutely free. Notice that this man who hears, however it gets to him, we don't know. But he hears that Jesus, the prophet, is coming, and he's heard about these miracles. And so he takes the risk of going into society. And believe me, there were a lot of people around Jesus. A lot of people to scare and to offend. But he has hope. He comes. He comes to Jesus. This man is full of leprosy. It's not just on his arm, his foot. No, he's full of leprosy. It's not just on the surface. It's reached deep into his flesh. For all we know, even his very ability to communicate with his mouth was impaired. But he comes to him who is most free, and listen to him. Listen to this desperate leper. He fell on his face. He falls to the ground in absolute desperation. He beseeches him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will. Because you're not bound. You have no chains on your wrists. You have no laws that you must abide by. Nothing can confine you. Nothing can restrain you. There is no limitation that you face. Lord," he says. This isn't just sir. Lord. What limitations do you face? Here, I am the most hopeless case that you can conceivably imagine. But I'm coming to you, and you, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What a confession of faith. The freedom of Christ. Do you see who this one is? Who, when he puts forth his hand and touches the leper, says, "I will be clean." And, is there any delay? Does he send him home, take two of these, and call me in the morning? Is he like any number of those frauds who only allow people who have one leg shorter than another to come up on the stage and be healed? Christ doesn't face any such limitations because he is the Son of God. He is no mere man, dear friends. And that's where there's good news. No matter how helpless our case is, there is one who has no limitation. You may have already said, "I am so hindered and restrained and held down, there's no help for me." But this leper came to him, and he had faith, and he confessed his faith in the one who is none other than God in the flesh. "Not unto us," we sang, "not unto us, but to thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, 'Where is now their God?' But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased." That's God. He has done what so ever he is pleased to do. If it comes into his heart, he but speaks the word. That's God. That's what it means to be God. Is to have such power that to will is to make it be. That's what Abraham believed when he looked at his own dead body, practically speaking, when he's 100 years old and God's telling him, you're going to have a boy. He staggered not at the promise in unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, confessing that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The problem is not with God's power at all. The question is whether he wills it to be so. Which is not a problem. Now, it may be a problem for us. But God does what he does as it pleases him. And not because he has any creatures that constrain him, any factors that are outside of him, that limit him, that impede his ability to move as he would go. And this is the case even in salvation, dear friends. God is absolutely free. He doesn't owe it to anyone to save them. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, so that it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God who shows mercy. Do not come to Christ as though he were some customer service idol to serve your needs. With a claim. Don't come to Christ with a claim. You have nothing to insist on before God. All that you have is from God, and if he wills to take it back, that's his call. He is absolutely free. When the Lord allowed Job, righteous Job, to be smitten by Satan, he had done outwardly no wrong thing to deserve any of these things. But did Job charge God foolishly? Did he curse God and die when his wife suggested it? No. The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is free. He's not in your pocket, friends, and he never will be. Now, if you continue to treat him as though he were some kind of rabbit's foot to get you out of a jam, you will find that he is free to destroy you. And he's done that with many before you, and don't think he can't do it with you. He will be honored as God most free. Christ must be honored in this way as well, because he is the Son of the Father. Therefore, if you will come to Christ, don't bring your claims. Bring your needs and your unworthiness with a recognition that he is free to say yes or no. Come as a beggar to Christ with no rights, no claims on him other than his free compassion and mercy. Lord, I know you're a merciful Christ. And I know you've come into this world, and I respect you. No, I honor you enough not to file a claim with you, not to insist on some entitlement, but to fall on my knees and beg you for mercy. Now, if you come that way, I doubt you're going to go away disappointed. Second, Christ the compassionate. Christ the compassionate. This leper was most pitiful. What a miserable existence. Think of what it must have been like, boys and girls, to be with your mother and father walking down the street and you see somebody far in the distance. He's wearing rags. His face, his hands, whatever you see of it, are all discolored. He probably has his hands wrapped up with cloths. Who is that man? And every time he comes in society, he has to make this big announcement. So that everyone, as soon as they hear it and see him, they immediately get away from him. What a wretched, miserable, lonely life. This leper was most pitiful. And when he came to Jesus, his gestures demonstrated that pitifulness. He falls before him and begs him, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Christ, we see him abounding in heavenly compassion. We don't see Jesus scared at all. Jesus didn't jump back in horror. The moment that this man falls before him, he could catch leprosy. He was a man. He wasn't, physically speaking, immune from any disease or infirmity. No, he doesn't recoil. He doesn't draw back. He stands there and he listens as this man begs and grovels, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And then notice what he does. He doesn't just speak the word, and he could have done that. Distance was not a limitation for Jesus. We read of many instances when Jesus healed people who happened to be far away. That's a wonderful thing about Jesus. He's not right here physically. He is in heaven at the right hand of God. But because he's also fully God, you can pray to him and he can hear you and he can answer your prayers. Distance is nothing to him. How many times we've been on the phone, somebody's called us with desperation in their voice, and our hearts sink because we would heal them, but we're so far away. See, Jesus didn't face that problem. Physically, he was very close. But he didn't need to be close. And yet, by being close, he could do something that displays the beauty of his heart, his compassion. He touched him. He touched him. Jesus put forth his hand and did what must have shocked everyone who watched it. Jesus knew what the church father Ambrose knew much later. He could not be contaminated who delivered others from pollution. He touches him. He makes contact. He shows that love and that kindness. And dear friends, in Jesus you will find the greatest pity, the greatest compassion. Whether it is because of the miseries that you experience or because of the sin beneath it, even if it's not some particular sin, it's just the sinfulness of your heart, your guilt, your corruption. But if you present yourselves before Christ, you know that you come before one with not just human compassion, because that has limits, doesn't it? Sometimes we just want to be done with people. It's the 10th time I've helped you out. You keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's why Peter put a limit on his willingness to forgive. "Lord, when I forgive my brother, shall I forgive him 7 times? He thought he was being really generous. "Peter, I say not 7 times. I say 70 times 7. And that's what makes a Christian Christ. No one else can make you a Christian. Not a good man, not your parents, not your pastor. No one else can make you a Christian but Christ. It's only His love, His compassion that can so change us as to break the crust and the layers of selfishness. No one else wanted to touch this man, but He touched him. And He leaves us an example, doesn't He? We get so hung up because of our selfishness and our fear. Our fear limits us and holds us back from showing true compassion and sympathy when there is real need presented before us. But we're afraid. Oh, what's going to happen if I do this? Could I get hurt? Could I lose something? Could I lose this? And we're so scared, and we turn in on ourselves into our little bubble of safe security. But Jesus wasn't frightened to help, because perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. And as we are touched by Jesus, and only when we are touched by Jesus in our hearts, is that grace of true compassion able to come into us and to set us free from that debilitating fear, so that we can begin to serve others and not ourselves. And to follow Christ and to imitate Him. Now, Christian, you still find yourself, don't you, held back. You know you should love, you know you should show compassion, you should show mercy, but there's so much inside that's pulling you back. Maybe it's fear. Fear of the unknown, the risks that are involved in showing mercy and compassion to others. And it even, we know it's going to hurt us somehow. Well, then bring that to Jesus. Bring that sickness, bring that disorder and that disease to Jesus. Let Him touch it. That selfishness, that carnal fear. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Touch my hard heart. Soften me. I know I should love my neighbor. I know I shouldn't be so selfish. Come, Jesus, if You're willing, You can make me clean. You can renew me. You can help me to break out of my shell. And if you would, in faith, exercise and strengthen your weakened and sickly compassion, a few brief words of direction. Christian, who have been touched by Christ, be among people. We need to hear this all the more in our days of virtual reality. Be among people and look up from that screen that is glowing in your face. People watch. First of all, be among people and look at them. And observe them. Leave your bubble of safety and go when you are not close to other people, especially other people who will pull on your heartstrings in a natural way. Expose yourself. Go visit the sick, the aged, the infirm. And if you're nervous, take baby steps. Read reports of those who are weakened and sick, especially Christians suffering. Train yourself to imagine. That's what sympathy involves. It involves imagining what someone else is feeling. God gave you the imagination. It's a beautiful gift. If you've been touched by Jesus, that beautiful gift is now awakened and blooms as a rose. So use it. How would they feel? Let me imagine it. Talk and touch. And if you can't yet talk and touch, then text. Then talk and touch. Pray with them and for them and be the hands of Christ. Third, Christ the cleansing. We've considered Christ the free, Christ the compassionate, now Christ the cleansing. This leper was most foul and filthy, most disordered and diseased. Physically, so that was rather obvious, painfully obvious, but spiritually so. Even if he was a true and a sincere believer, and we have no reason to think that he wasn't necessarily. After all, he came to Christ and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. But what happens in these stories is that the Lord is giving us pictures of spiritual realities. And the spiritual reality is that the physical disease and disorder of our bodies is a picture of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. The problem with man is not our body so much as it is with our heart. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem, which is why when someone gets a new heart, it doesn't really matter what happens with their bodies. They breathe their last on their deathbeds with joy and gladness because all their sins are forgiven. They've been accepted with God, and when they close their eyes for the last time, angels will bring them into the presence of their Savior. And even their bodies, which will finish rotting in the ground, Jesus will come on the last day, and he will shout from heaven and summon their vile, corrupted bodies and beautify them and change them and transform them. And what Christ does here is a picture of what he does now in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. He cleanses our hearts from all the guilt of our nasty, let's be honest, our nasty, ugly, pus-filled sins. Use your imagination. This is what the Bible describes. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet, there is no soundness in the human heart, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You think it's sick? Well, this is how God sees your heart, by nature, if you're not yet saved. And that's why the words and the actions that come out of our lives that hurt people, that's why they come out. It's because they come from the fountain of our hearts. But we can't fix it, just like this leper. There's no 10-step program that can change the heart. It's often like physical therapy. It can help you manage the pain, but it can't deal with the basic problem. And that's often what this world offers to us, but that's not what Jesus offers. He offers a brand new heart. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He cleanses the soul by faith. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He cleanses the soul by the washing of the Holy Spirit. Fourth, Christ the Supreme. He was supremely able and willing to answer, yes, and even crown faith. To crown this desperate, begging, and daring faith. To crown this divine faith that viewed Christ as no mere man, but as the sovereign Lord. I like what Cyril says, for when Moses could not rid his sister of the leprosy, he prayed the Lord to deliver her. But the Savior, in his divine power, declared, I will be thou clean. Moses couldn't do it. But I can. And that was the faith that Christ rewarded. And he was able and willing to crown an unpresumptive faith that did not dictate to Jesus what he had to do, but said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was able and willing to cure the incurable, and able and willing to cure the minds of men who weren't yet sure that this Jesus of Nazareth was really the Christ. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Go back to the priests and see what I have done, which you have never been able to do. Faith cleanses. Believe and be clean. Believe and be new. And once God has cleansed anyone, let those who are cleansed receive them. What God has cleansed, that call not common or unclean. Whoever they are, whatever their background has been, they may have been spiritually, morally a leper. But if the Lord cleans them, that they are accepted, they are perfected, and they are welcomed into the community of faith. But friends, know that all of this came at a cost. It was only because he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities that he could heal us. Truly, it was the cross yet to come by which Christ cured that leper. But finally, and very briefly, Christ the meek, with all this power, yet he calls not attention to himself. He charged him to tell no man. He is meek and lowly in heart. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. The power didn't go to his head. And that's why you can trust him. He'll never abuse that power. He will always be trustworthy. He will always be touchable, gentle, and kind. And he will always, as he was, be a man who is bound to his heavenly Father, who after he healed all of these people, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Let us follow him there. Let us follow him, the great physician, into the closet to pray unto our Lord, knowing that if he wills, he can make us clean. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please rise. O Lord, we are grateful again for this precious word of God. Grant now, Lord, that we would be made new. And new again and again, O Lord. And please work within us compassion and pity and tenderness. Lord, we look upon the Savior. He alone is able to wash away our guilt and to change us and make us new. To To thee, O Lord, be all praise and honor and glory. Amen. You may be seated.